nationally renowned columnist, blogger, Jason Whitlock, joining us on the Rumble Revolution Hotline. Hello, Jason Whitlock. How are you, sir?
Good. What's happening, guys?
Everything's good. Everything's good. We've been having nearly a violent debate over LeBron James. Pat has a real issue with him. I love the guy, probably too much. So I'm not sure exactly how this whole arrangement came about, so I'm not sure how Pat
Twitter
coerced you into coming on or what we were supposed to be talking about, but I'm assuming it had something LeBron-related.
I would think, but it's your show. So.
What's your take on it? I mean, I think the general consensus is he didn't handle it well, and then there's some debate on whether or not he owed Cleveland something else. Now you get the owner coming in acting like a knucklehead, and Stern's basically chastising everybody, so there's a lot of different things to discuss. What was your overall feeling on, A, him leaving, and, B, the way he handled it?
I have no problem with him leaving to join the Miami Heat and Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and that crew. I think he handled it horribly. I think he deserves the criticism that's coming his way for the classless way he handled his exit. I think it's something he can recover from. I think that, you know, a simple apology to the people in Cleveland and, you know, a heartfelt apology, I think would, you know, I don't think it would heal things in Cleveland, but in the rest of the country, I think people would say, okay, LeBron made a mistake. He did something immature. He acknowledges it. And I think most people would move on.
What do you think separates, if anything, Kobe, even Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, those guys who've been on the top of the game, Jordan, and, you know, won, and now everyone obviously calls LeBron the king, and, you know, he seems like he can't do anything wrong.
I think the thing that separates Kobe from LeBron is about 6 years in age and about, you know, how many ever miles distance there is between Cleveland and Los Angeles. Everybody we're talking about that we're comparing LeBron to played in major cities, Chicago, Boston, L.A., whatever, and played in power franchises that were supported by the league. And what I'm saying by that, if you go all the way back to 1978 when the Celtics were able to draft Larry Bird a year before he was out, I think they got him at number six. You know, I think if we went all the way back then, I think people were skeptical. Damn, how did Boston pull that off? Mm-hmm. The Lakers getting Kareem, Wilt, Shaq, Magic, whomever they wanted. Those franchises never seemed to struggle getting great players. And then in Chicago, that's a major city. Didn't have a lot of history, but, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, got Scottie Pippen. And I don't think there was anything crazy that went on there, but LeBron's played in Cleveland, hasn't had the best supporting cast, and so now he's going someplace where he has a ready-made supporting cast, and I think that's the biggest difference. You know, and I think there's a different era right now between when Magic, Larry, and Michael ruled the NBA. I think the Boston Celtics with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen did kind of has set a new standard for players and what they think they need to be surrounded by to win championships. And, you don't have to draft the guys. You know, free agents get together, talk themselves into joining the same team. And so I think LeBron feels like he's following the blueprint that was successful for Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen.
So do you said he can recover, but will he recover? Will he ever be what everyone looked at him to be previously, last week even?
Yeah, I think he can, I think I don't know if he's mature enough to look at his support people, the kids he surrounded himself with his same age, and say, this isn't good enough, I'm not getting mature advice. If he is, and David Stern seems to have laid the groundwork foundation by saying, look, this was ill-conceived, that should make LeBron go, okay, well, who helped me conceive this? And maybe I need to get a different supporting cast. And if he does, I think he'll quickly realize he made a mistake and he'll end up on Oprah show or Larry King or somewhere, apologizing for the way he handled this whole deal.
Now, we were talking, too, and I want to get your opinion on this, is that, yes, the guy is great and arguably he's the best player in the game. I think a lot of us would lean more towards Kobe because of the success and what he's able to do. But it seems that he has been, and there are a couple things he definitely needs to develop, and we've talked to other, you know, NBA guys about this, that he needs to develop a little bit more in the post and work on his game a little bit more. Even though he's the best, he doesn't seem real willing, or at least he hasn't thus far, been willing to work on some other parts. And again, Jordan came in with some questions about certain parts of his game, developed it, worked on it. So are you seeing that? Do you agree with that, that he, even though he's the best, he maybe still needs to work on some things and get that mentality?
I've said for 3 years it's ridiculous with his body he doesn't have a low post game. He should be killing guys in the low post. Magic Johnson added a piece to his game damn near every offseason. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan developed a killer jump shot. LeBron has, you know, other than Karl Malone, probably the best body we've ever seen in the NBA, and he can't kill people in the low post. That's ridiculous. That's where you need him in the final 2 minutes of every basketball game, down in the low post, drawing fouls and getting to the line. He just doesn't have that. And so, yeah, I've always been critical of that. But, again, when you're surrounded by sycophants and people that, you know, tell you that you can do no wrong, you don't self-analyze. You don't look and see what you need to do better. You think, well, hell, what I need to do better is go join Dwayne Wade and party in South Beach.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. I mean, the guy wasn't encouraged to go work on his game in Cleveland. I don't think he's probably going to spend a whole lot of his free time working in the gym in South Beach, I got to believe. I don't know. It's going to be a tough draw. Let me ask you about this, too. I mean, this is another athlete who's a high-profile person. You've been critical of her in the past. Another one who's achieved at an extremely high level. She has won a lot of championships. But you've been critical of her maybe not reaching her potential, and that's Serena Williams. Recently coming off a Wimbledon win. Where are you on her? Are you softening your position on her a little bit or not?
Oh, I think without question she's taken her game to a new level. I think she has acknowledged she's trimmed up or lost weight or firmed up or whatever. And so, yeah, I can't criticize Serena Williams at all right now for the way she's playing and the way she's approaching the game. And I think my position has somewhat softened on her in terms of being completely focused on tennis. That didn't seem to work out so well for Tiger Woods being completely focused on golf. And so maybe I was wrong and she's a bit more of a well-rounded person and, you know, not as single-mindedly focused. And maybe that's why she hasn't gone crazy like all the other celebrity athletes.
Well, a media person entertaining the possibility they weren't right. That is a first for sure.
If it happens around here, I can assure you that.
The Tiger Woods thing is bothersome to me in that they continue to ask the guy, and it just happened this morning. I mean, at 4 a.m. I was up watching his – I wasn't up watching it, but I was seeing some of the replays of his press conference over there and getting ready for the British Open. They still continue to hammer the guy about his personal life. And, yes, I understand it's probably newsworthy, but you know he's not going to answer it. It just makes everything uncomfortable. I don't understand why these guys, and foreign press especially with these guys, continue to hammer on these things. I don't know what they think they're going to get, A.
Well,
B,
this is their first crack at him overseas, and so they're going to take it. They have their fans or whatever. This is their moment in the sun, and so they're taking advantage of it. And you know, I don't blame Tiger for the way he's handling it, and next year when he comes back over there, they'll be done with the questions, hopefully.
What about for him? Can he repair? Can he get back? I mean, Kobe was at, you know, the depths from a PR standpoint. He came all the way back. Is it going to take just winning some majors to get back there, or do you think he's ever going to get back?
All the way back? I don't know because, I mean, Tiger is a punchline to a joke. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan. I can't help but crack jokes about the guy because it's funny. And so the cracking jokes about Kobe and rape is a little bit more difficult. Cracking jokes about Tiger and bimbos and porn stars and Perkins waitresses, that's easy. And I don't know if that's ever going to go away. You can fly those banners overhead at the golf courses for the rest of his career, and people are still going to chuckle. So all the way back, I don't know, but the guy needs to certainly start winning some tournaments to start recovering because if he's going to – he doesn't seem mentally – he can't get energized for the non-majors, And so he's stinking at the non-majors. And, I think this British Open at St. Andrews is going to be very important for him. This course is laid out for him, and the old Tiger would win here. He needs to get this victory this weekend.
Did you pay any attention to the World Cup?
Yeah, loved it.
You did?
Yeah.
Were you disappointed in the final? Because it was amazing to me.
No.
The soccer analysts were all over how bad a final was.
I know.
I don't know enough about soccer to know what's good and bad.
And neither do I, so I'm not going to pretend to say I did. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was a difference. I've seen American soccer. I've seen high-level American college soccer, and I've seen a little of the MLS. It's a far more physical game over here in America. It's a total finesse game, what I saw in the World Cup. And it was pretty exciting, and I enjoyed it, and actually will pay attention 4 years from now from start to finish. And so, no, I enjoyed it.
I will say that the slow-mo is maybe the best of any sport. It is amazing watching those guys contort their bodies.
Oh, it's incredible what they can do. Yeah, it's incredible. I can't remember which game. Maybe it was Ghana, where the guy, someone kicked the ball from like 50 yards away, it seemed like, and somehow he hit it off his chest. And then kicked it in. I was like, man, I don't know if Randy Moss could do this. I don't know if LeBron James could do this. It's freaking incredible what they can do. And we certainly, and it's an obvious point that everyone's made. We don't have our best athletes playing, and you can tell. And the other countries do, and it makes a huge difference.
George Steinbrenner passed away today. What do you think is going to be his lasting legacy?
Well, you're asking someone in Kansas City, and we never liked George Steinbrenner here. We're small market, cheap baseball here. So my first thought is, hey, the guy bought a bunch of championships. I'm happy for him. My second thought is he introduced or created all the over-the-top owner personalities, Mark Cuban, Jerry Jones. And I've liked his personality. It gives us something to write and talk about. And so those are my two impressions. Bought championships and made owners very over-the-top and personality feel.
Okay, I'm going to go back to LeBron. In 3 years from now, where do you see the Miami Heat and where do you see the state of the NBA after the influence of those three guys?
This is my prediction, and it's just a prediction. I don't think it's going to work. I think that eventually – these guys are going to have an ego clash. This is like the basketball's version of the TV show Entourage, except it's going to be real. And so on the TV show Entourage, it always has a happy ending, and Vince and Johnny and Turtle and E, they always get along. In real life, that's just not the case. And so I think that these guys are going to clash personality-wise on and off the court, and it's not going to work. So in 3 years, they might have one championship and pissed off at each other, and one of them getting traded eventually.
The difference is that Vinny Chase's hometown boy has come out and done a good job, and LeBron's hometown boys have not helped him as much. So,
absolutely.
And see, I've been getting back, and I don't mind if you tell me I'm wrong, but I'd said
you're
earlier.
Wrong.
Well, I hear I'm wrong all the time. Of course, it's fine. But for the past couple of years, I could see maybe a pattern. And you talked about how whoever conceived this idea of going on for the one-hour show was a bad idea. And, you know, him not working on maybe what he should be in the off season is maybe not somebody in his ear telling him what he needs to be working on. So is that a pattern where we see that maybe – it's not the first time we've seen superstar athletes getting taken down the wrong road by their boys. That loyalty has gotten a lot of guys in trouble. So – in a few years, who's to say where these guys, if he's so loyal, where these guys could take him? Am I crazy for thinking I see a pattern here?
No. There's a definite pattern. I just want you to think about how stupid LeBron's boys are. Maverick Carter and the guys he's turned over his marketing to, his high school boys. Just think about this. No one, Jim Gray, a defrocked sideline reporter, talked him into this. Bob Costas didn't call. It wasn't Brian Gumbel that said, hey, LeBron, let's do this. It was Jim Gray.
Yes.
It's like Shelly Smith and Rachel Nichols says, nah, we won't do it. Craig Sager won't do it. But Jim Gray talk LeBron into this and his people. That's how stupid and immature these kids are, that they don't even realize LeBron shouldn't even be allowed to talk to Jim Gray. They're not on the same level. I've been saying, look, Iceberg Slim, the pimp, is sitting around going, Jim Gray's a bad dude. He's got better game than I got. Because he talked LeBron James into doing this really stupid thing for Jim Gray's benefit. That wasn't for LeBron's benefit. That is, Jim Gray is a pimp. He deserves praise and credit for being one of the country's top pimps, because what he just did to LeBron James is the equivalent. If you ever hear someone say, Jason Whitlock slept with Halle Berry, I pulled off what Jim Gray just pulled off.
I kept waiting for him to go, so LeBron, do you think Pete Rose should admit to gambling in baseball and they'll let him in the Hall of Fame? What would you like to see happen?
Okay, before we let you go, what's your number one place? I've passed through KC a lot. What's if you could only eat at one restaurant in KC the rest of your life, what would it be?
Gates Barbecue.
Okay, that's
Gates
it.
Gates Barbecue.
All right, very good.
Write it down.
I am. Again, I'm going through there next month, so I will definitely make sure to do that. Jason, thanks for the time. We appreciate it very much.
Take care, guys.